Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I'm excited because our neighbor is here. Tiffany Newhart is here. She's Executive Director of Rise Up Recovery. We love looking at their beautiful building and all the wonderful things that go on across the street. And it's so good to have you in studio. How have you been?
Oh, I'm wonderful, Mo. Thanks for having me back.
Appreciate it. We appreciate all that you do. So, Tiffany, why don't you give an overview first of Rise Up Recovery for people that might not be familiar with your organization?
Yeah, that's great. So we are the local recovery community organization, which means that we are all things recovery from substance use disorders and mental health issues. So we are run by individuals who are in recovery themselves, and we operate for those either seeking recovery, in recovery, or their family members. So really, you can think of us as a huge resource stop for anyone who has been struggling with substance use disorder or mental health issues.
Is that unusual that you are a kind of a broader umbrella for mental health issues and substance abuse issues? Sometimes they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, I would say oftentimes they go hand in hand. At least 80% of the time, they're kind of what's called co-occurring disorders, so they happen together. The neat thing about how we're different from, let's say, a treatment facility is if you have a treatment facility, both for mental health or substance use, that's very clinically based, right? So you have professionals, counselors, individuals who have licenses, and they have a certain scope of practice that they practice within. We are people who have lived experience. We have certifications, but it breaks down that barrier of like, I'm the expert, you're the patient, I'm going to tell you what's best for you. And instead, we get to come at it from this approach of, I'm your equal. The only thing is, I may be a little bit further down this road than you, and I've had some experiences, and this is what's worked for me. It might work for you, it might not work for you, but I'm just here to walk alongside you as you kind of figure out what does work. So we're in the even playing field.
And that's right? The secret sauce of what you do.
Absolutely. 100%.
I love that. Tiffany, how are things going? And I know a couple months ago we spoke about how the new laws about legalizing marijuana, that type of thing, how that might affect your organization. Have you seen any effects of that?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, this is such a deep rabbit hole that we could go down. I think some of it is just the mentality behind it. And the majority of the people who we serve are people who want change in their lives. And so, you know, even if it's legalized or not legalized, you know, there might be some barriers to that of like, well, hey, maybe this isn't so bad as fentanyl, for example. But I would say that we're not experiencing any kind of significant mm-hmm. change yet.
And the same thing really could be said about alcohol. I mean, alcohol is legal,
yep.
But yet it's not for everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, alcohol specifically is one of the most devastating substances that exists. Even if, you know, fentanyl is a hot topic right now, right? Mm-hmm. All the overdose rates and that sort of thing. But alcohol is the only substance on the market that actually impacts every single system of the human body. It's the only one of the only substances that people can die from withdrawals. You know, so it's while it's legal, the implications and ramifications of its misuse are significant. So, you know, I think it's to be determined, you know, marijuana use being legalized and the implications of that long term. But we know that, you know, there will be ramifications for sure.
And Tiffany, how do you know, as a young person, you've been very open about your journey. How do you know as a young person if you have that addiction piece inside you? Or is that something that everybody has and it just is triggered in different ways?
Yeah, that's a good question. Statistically, 1 in 10 individuals will experience addiction in their lifetime. And when we talk about like addiction or addictive disorders, really, it's more about how the use of a substance impacts somebody's daily life. So if you're using a substance, you and I could use alcohol, for example, and we could use the same amount of alcohol, but how alcohol and your relationship with alcohol looks may be completely different than mine. So when I drink, for example, I drink to the point of intoxication. And I have significant consequences that follow. I make very poor decisions.
Most people would.
Yeah. I end up getting very, very, very ill. I mean, like 3 days worth of throwing up. And, you know, most people would say, ugh, it's not worth it. The consequences aren't worth the pleasure that I get from it. My brain doesn't do that. My brain is quick to forget the negative consequences and really clings to, oh, well, that was really pleasurable. So I'm going to keep chasing that, even though it has major negative impacts on my relationships, maybe my legal life, maybe my work life, you know. So when people continue to use substances despite having negative consequences, mm-hmm. again and again and again, that's when they kind of start falling within those categories of either substance abuser or substance dependent, depending upon kind of the number of qualifying.
And what's the difference between the two?
So it would be the specific number of symptoms that they meet, you know, and one can progress to the other. So somebody maybe early on would fit the description of substance abuse. And if they continue to use and they don't make changes, oftentimes that can progress to substance dependence. I would say it's probably pretty safe to say the majority of people who have drank alcohol in their lives, especially I think back to my college years, during that phase would have technically fallen within that substance abuse category. The kind of crutch becomes whether people continue and it progresses or whether they're able to make changes and arrest it at that point in time.
You know, we're coming off of the Super Bowl, which, of course, many of the advertisers on the Super Bowl are around alcohol. Mm-hmm. I think certainly that whole event is around alcohol.
Yes.
And how did that impact your friends at Rise Up Recovery? I mean, they need a safe place, right? Or is that mm-hmm. something that can trigger people? Or what do you see? I'm interested to know your thoughts on just the whole glorifying.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, glorifying it. I think another way I think of it is normalizing it. Our culture in general, alcohol use and consumption and even misconsumption is normalized. It's just what you do, you know? That to me is probably some of the root problems of why we're in the situation that we're in right now, with addiction being at rates unprecedented that we've seen before. It's this kind of mentality that we have within our culture of, I'm uncomfortable. Let's seek something as an escape mechanism. Let's reach for something, whether it be alcohol, whether it be even ibuprofen, whether it be prescription medication, something to change my state of being.
Food.
Exactly. Right. I don't like the way I look. So let's buy all these beauty products. It's sort of this consumption culture that we live in, and that's no different with substances or with things that alter our mood and our state of being. And because it's so normalized, I think, you know, those of us who don't do that, who are in recovery and practice abstinence, it can be uncomfortable. You know, you can get the questions of, oh, why aren't you drinking? By the way, that's a tip for everybody out there. If somebody's choosing not to consume alcohol or substances, you don't need to ask them about that. Just honor their choice and support them in that, you know.
Don't hassle them. Don't make fun of them.
Yep. But to circle back, is it a trigger for people? Absolutely, it can be a trigger for people. You know, and I think that's something that we teach a lot over at Rise Up is, how do you manage triggers? When you're feeling triggered, because, I mean, you can walk down the street and there's a liquor store. You know, you can see the billboard right there. You can walk by somebody and smell the alcohol. So we're going to have triggers, but how do we manage them? How do we have coping skills that we can run to instead of, just because I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to go back and reach for the bottle, you know? So that's a big part, and that's our responsibility. So despite what's going on around us, it's still my choice and my responsibility to make sure that I've got this other tool bag that I'm utilizing, rather than making those choices that I know for me activates my disease.
And what do you think is the difference with what you do versus some of the other programs that are out there?
Yeah, I would say the big difference is that clinical base versus the peer based. So treatments, there's a lot of treatment programs out there. Very valid, very important.
Who is going to benefit from a treatment program versus your model?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say it depends on people's needs. So people who maybe aren't safe in their living environment, people who, you know, maybe there's a lot of substance use that's still happening in their living environment. And let's be honest, some people just need a break and need to get away from their day-to-day patterns in order to break those habits. So we wouldn't be a great fit for those people. We would be a good fit for before that and after that. You know, so, hey, I need help. I need to go into a treatment program. We can help make those connections and get people connected with the right program. And then we can circle back with them and support them after they leave. But really, treatment program is more of an immersive sort of experience where people have several hours of counseling from professional counselors, maybe mental health professionals, you know, multiple days a week. So it's pretty intensive. Ours is a lot more low key. Ours is a lot more like, hey, I've either gotten that treatment and I'm stabilized, or I'm interested in that treatment. You guys can help connect me with that. You know, those are kind of our sweet spots, the bookends, before and after.
So what else can you say about your organization?
I don't know. That's a loaded question. I could say a lot. I would say that we probably have some of the biggest hearts over there. And I think about the love. I would say that's probably one of the biggest feedback pieces that we get, people coming into our organization, and they say they feel they leave just feeling loved and cared about. So no matter what state they are in when they come to us, they know they're going to get loved on. They know they're not going to be judged. They know that they're going to have our support unconditionally, which I think is a pretty special thing. I think that's also the big sweet sauce in what we do, is really loving people and meeting them where they're at. I would say that we really try to be a connector in the community. You know, we're not the end-all be-all by any means. We've got some really cool stuff going on, but there are, as you talked about, these different treatment programs and things like that that are going to be better fitted for people as they're at different points in their journey. And we just want to be that connector, that bridge for people to get them to where they want to be.
And this is something that people typically can't do themselves, get to better health. They do need others, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I think the disease of addiction is very isolating. You know, mental illness, too. There's a tremendous amount of shame that can go along with it, and stigma and misunderstanding. And the more alone we are in it, the less likely we are to get well. And so there's so much power in connection and being with others, and especially others who get it and are like, hey, I'm like you, and there's hope. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest currency we deal in is hope. You know, that, hey, I've been through this, and I've been just where you are, and there's hope for you. You're not stuck, you know.
You have a lot of different meetings, I know, that people can go to. Mm-hmm. Do you want to give our listeners kind of an overview?
Sure. Yes. So Mondays, we do art group, which is fun.
Okay, love this.
I know, right? It's fun. And you don't even have to be a person in recovery to come and enjoy and just sit around a table and do some different fun art projects. This month, we're working on paper flowers, like the tissue paper flowers for Valentine's. And so that's really fun. And so that's on Mondays. Tuesdays, we do a SMART recovery meeting. And SMART recovery is a really unique program in that it's all about tools and skills. So it's not a 12-step-based group. It's not a spiritual group. It's really, hey, let's come and learn these different tools. As we talked about those coping skills, that kind of thing. Let's pack a good toolbox so that I'm equipped for life on life's terms. That's what SMART Recovery is. That's Tuesdays. Wednesdays, there's a peer men group. So that is men who are seeking freedom from sexual addiction. They get together every Wednesday and encourage each other, which is great. Mm-hmm. Thursday, there's a family group. So that is a group for individuals who have family members or loved ones or concerned persons who are struggling with substance use. And then Fridays, we do an all recovery group. And that is anybody struggling with anything can come. Again, not a 12-step based group, but just really an encouraging group, really kind of affirmative based. And then Sundays, we do a celebrate recovery group. So all kinds of stuff. We've got some classes in between, anger management, job skills. We've also got a new group starting that is really, it's called My Ongoing Recovery Experience. And that talks about what we shared, triggers. coping skills, you know, all kinds of things in recovery, even people encouraging them to go to their first meeting. If you want to look for a sponsor, what are characteristics and qualities that I look for in a sponsor? So it's really kind of breaking down recovery step by step and walking alongside people and supporting them as they learn these tools and skills.
Do you think that would be a good first stop for people? Or what do you think would be the best first stop?
Yeah, I would say my ongoing recovery experience would be a great stop for people who are, maybe they're not ready for treatment yet, or maybe they're just sort of exploring this. That would be a really great spot. Honestly, any of our groups would be a really great place for people to just drop in, because you're going to be around other people who are in recovery and who get it. And sometimes that's all you need, is just someone to listen and to be understood.
Yeah. Give people your contact information, please, and your address. I know where you are, but people might not know where you're located.
Yeah, we are. We're neighbors. We're right across
we
the
love
street.
It.
Yes. So 507 Vermilion Street is our address, and we're open Monday through Friday business hours. And then you can also go on our website, which is www.riseuprecoverymn.com. So feel free to stop in or go online, shoot us an email, give us a phone call, anything like that.
And it's confidential and
yes,
very welcoming and open. And if there's somebody listening, Tiffany, that maybe could just use a little boost, what do you want to say to them?
Yeah, my encouragement for you would be that you're not alone. You don't have to do this alone. And that we do recover, no matter what depths of darkness you may be in and how hopeless it may seem and feel. I can just share myself. I was somebody who was told by professionals that they think I'm one of those hopeless cases that's not going to recover. I almost got her hand in her head. And that's true. I remember hearing that and feeling that desperation of like, there's no hope for me. And yet here I am. So I think I believe in a God who's in the business of impossible situations. And so if you feel like you're in that place, please come reach out, because there's a whole building full of them that prove the impossible.
There's a building full of people like that here too.
Yes, right?
Oh, Tiffany, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely.
Tiffany Newharth is the executive director of Rise Up Recovery. And we hope that this has touched your heart and you might take some of the things that she has brought up to heart and get some help if you, in fact, you think you need some. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.